rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
To pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We are continuing our study today in the Lord's Prayer, and isn't it just wonderful that Jesus here tells us to pray this, which means that God has a desire to forgive all of your sins. He wouldn't tell us to pray it if he didn't mean it. This is such a beautiful thing that in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, we are called to come, confess our sins, and receive forgiveness, and to ask him to help us to forgive and love others. It's beautiful today, and that's what we're considering on Abounding Grace, continuing our study in the Lord's Prayer. Thanks for tuning into the program. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Please find us on Facebook, and do remember, all of your support helps to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to Africa, across the U.S. and Canada. Such a blessing to have this opportunity. Here is now part two of a program that we aired yesterday, considering the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Part one can be found right online at agradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to the program.
That's the design of this. It's captured with David, and that's why I wanted to use it tonight. So you read in verse 1 of Psalm 51, the great plea of David, the beautiful cry of David, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. That is Saul this morning, where Ananias found him, wasn't it? That was a difference between the Pharisee's prayer and now the man who's been humbled and saved. David had hardened his heart for months in denial without any sense that he had offended God. Calvin is so helpful here when he says, this man was probably praying daily. He was probably in worship and probably thought he was conforming his life to the law of God. That's a scary thought to me. That this great hurdle to praying this petition is a failure to recognize and deal with sin in our lives. I've always thought 1 John is remarkably helpful in this regard. Have you ever thought about the path that is there outlined in 1 John? There's a progression there if you follow the well-known passage that leads to, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But you have a series of, if we say, if we do, if we say, that is actually a spiral downward into hardening of the heart, which I think is tied closely with 1 John when you hit a point of no return. Later, 1 John 5, where he talks there are sins leading to death. Listen to this. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. So if you say you're a Christian and then you go out and you live in darkness all week long, you're lying to God. You're lying to God and you're not practicing the truth. Here's another one. Then it goes on. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's sort of a present aspect to that. Somebody comes to you and says, you're sinning. I'm not sinning. I'm not sinning right now. You deceive yourselves and the truth is not in us. And the third one, if we say we've not sinned, I am not a sinner. I have not sinned. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. There's a spiral there downward. There's a progression to saying things and doing things, ultimately leading to, I am not a sinner. And then comes the beautiful statement that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that is now David here, who had been non-responsive and hardened. And if David could be blinded to the big sins, think about how blinded we could be to the little sins in life. That's how we categorize it. Well, when Nathan had come to David and the awakening had happened, it was a time where he was overcome with grief. You've been there? You felt it? What he did with the murder of Uriah and his adultery with Bathsheba was punishable by death. As I was studying, I remembered the law of God. None of the sacrifices he could offer would bring forgiveness for this. It was punishable by death. The death penalty was before him. David's sin had found him out. Isn't it just the case that even with the killer this week, it's just a marvel to think. For 40 years, this man got away with it. And you know what everyone said about him? The Golden State Killer? He was a normal guy. He had so compartmentalized everything. He compartmentalized life. He had his normal duties. People saw him. People never would have dreamed this. That was this guy. Well, David's sin had found him out. And he comes to this conclusion, I can't undo what I've done. You do some things at times and your conscience is so severely wounded. That is God placing his hand and his word in you and working on your conscience to convict you. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Sin brings always this terrible sense of defilement and discouragement and pain, and then you have to suffer the consequences and the pain that, especially as believers, that we are to do some of the things that we do would seem, if everyone knew the course of our lives and could expose the struggles that we have in the mind and the heart, they would say, you're the biggest hypocrite ever. You know that. You ever felt that? Well, imagine if this particular thing had happened here, of what David's sin is before us. And this is David's great prayer request tonight. This is the heart of this prayer request. Forgive me, Lord, my debts. He cries out for mercy. It's beautiful here that you'll notice here that he is using three ways to speak of God's goodness and his mercy and his unfailing love, his steadfast love, all with here, you'll notice the ways that he has been to God. He describes God as mercy, merciful, unfailing in his love, and compassionate. But as for me, forgive mine. He uses all three terms to describe the ways that we have departed from God. He just first mints literally. He first says here, transgression. I've departed from you, O Lord. I've gone away from you. The second word he uses is sin. I've missed the mark by far of your standard. And the third word he uses here is iniquity, which means in the deepest sense to be crooked and corrupt and twisted in all ways. He sets that in light of how God has revealed and been revealed to him in his mercy, in his unfailing love, and in his compassion. Have mercy on me, O Lord. I need forgiveness. I need washing. I need cleansing. I need you to purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He says in verse 3, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. I think the effect there is to stop and interject specifically the ways we've done that. The ways specifically we've done that. You realize that Jesus in this prayer is inviting us to come to his Father and to tell the Father as a son your sins and struggles in life. Does God not know? Does God not see? He sees it all. Your life is an open book. One of the things that the Bible makes very clear for the unbeliever on the day of judgment is that he has to give an account. And that book in Revelation is open. It's a book of deeds, remember. And there is recorded the sins of their lives. But did you ever think that this is what's happening now? That the Lord is giving you an opportunity to come to him, and that he is inviting you to the light, and that you're agreeing with what his word says, that you are guilty, and you are coming and saying, everything the scriptures have taught you about your hearts, I agree with your law. I agree, Lord, that I have sinned. And here's what I've done. This is where I think we need to remember the scriptures encourage us to be specific with the Lord, to be open and talk with him about your sins. Lord, today I lusted. Lord, today I murdered in the heart. Lord, today I coveted. Today I took something I shouldn't have. Today I did not love my wife the way that I should have. David understands the importance of this. One of the things that David communicates to us is that when we don't come to confess our sins to the Lord, it has not only a hardening effect, but as the hardening effect happens, the Lord lays his heavy hand on us. Ever thought about that? When I kept silent, in other words, when I didn't make this request part of my life, when I didn't take this request seriously, when I went in sin and never came and confessed my sins and dealt seriously with them, here's what happened. My bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My vitality was turned to the drought of summer. I think you know this. Is anyone ever happy when they choose a path of sin? They may claim to be. It may feel good. But it's life-ruining. It brings about misery and hardship. And for the children of God, the Lord particularly puts his hand down on them to make them feel the weight of it, to make them be unhappy in it. This was the young prodigal who had run off into the pigsty, and he had thought, I have my father's inheritance. I'm running off to Vegas. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to live the good life. And he squanders it all and finds himself in the pigsty, and that was a hard life to choose, wasn't it? And then one day, he came to himself. See, the hand of the Lord had been on him. And then he awoke. What am I doing? I'm going back to my father. My father cares about me. My father's invited me home. I know he'll take me in. I don't care if I'm just a doorkeeper. I'll go back. And this is where David is. Against you, O Lord, and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. I know what I am, Lord. I'm guilty. I sin. I know what I deserve. That's a real test of where you are in humility. That if God were to cast you into hell, you would say, you're just to do it. You're just to do it. But I'm making no excuses. I'm not going to blame my parents for my sins. I'm not going to blame my circumstances for my sins. I'm not going to blame my environment for my sins. I'm not going to be as Adam and Eve. It's the woman you gave me. I've done it. I chose to do it. It's ruined me. But I'm coming to you for mercy. This is the beauty of this request here. Remember what happened next when David said before Nathan, I've sinned? Remember what Nathan said? The Lord has put away your sin. Shocking. Where did he put it? David must have given that a lot of thought. Where'd you put it? Verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Don't you love our Heidelberg tonight? Isn't it just right? Because of Christ, don't hold any of these sins against me. There's an answer. There's an answer. With the blood of Christ, you can be washed whiter than snow. Make this this message again that I've heard all my life. Let me hear joy in it again. Let me hear gladness in the gospel. Turn my guilt and take it and cover me and cleanse me, purge me with hyssop and bring to me joy again. Then I'll go out and teach others. This is so important for the Christian life tonight. So important. Looking at it in the category of this morning and considering Saul and Paul, sometimes I think we think that just initially happens and then we're sort of done. And this, the gospel's for the people like that. The gospel's for you every week. The gospel's for you every morning. You have to get up and preach this to yourself. Because your sin will ruin you, it will discourage you, it will make you feel defiled, it will make you feel separated from God. Now, God is not that way to you, but this is why this is so needed, you see. So that when you come to Him, He wants you to know He's faithful. And because of Christ, He washes you and cleanses you and picks you up and helps you and forgives you. You see why it's so important that you don't get to your deathbeds. And when one day you're sick or you're dying and you're sitting there thinking, which the devil always does, starts kicking you when you're down, you've done a lot of bad things in life. And you've done a lot of bad things. And the pastor comes to you and he says to you, are you certain? Do you know where you're going? Are you trusting? I hope so. I hope I get in. That's never been proclaimed to you in your whole life to look at things that way. Jesus teaches you to pray this because He wants you to know and live in the joy of forgiveness today. Believe it. He's inviting you to come. He's inviting you to confess your sins and to know there's a covering, there's forgiveness, and He's faithful to do it, and He's not reneging on that. How wonderful is the gospel? How wonderful is the gospel? And that leads us tonight to close with one last reflection, doesn't it? Jesus then said, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those." Isn't that just as we have forgiven our debtors? And listen to the way the Heidelberg describes this. This is so wonderful. Forgive us just as we are fully determined as evidence of your grace in us to forgive our neighbors. Remember when Peter came up and said, "Lord, how often do I forgive somebody who keeps coming to me? 7 times? What if somebody continues to come up to me and keeps doing the same stupid thing? How many times? 7? Good whole number. You like 7, don't you? I tell you, 70 times 7. Same sin? 70 times 7. Indefinite. Why would He tell him that? Because that's what the Lord does for you. 70 times 7. Same sins. He forgives them. He lets them go. And it's that grace, as it overtakes the human heart of God's love, that then moves us and places a desire in us to want to go do that to others. That's the beauty of this. Notice it. Just as we are fully determined, this is what grace has done. This is what gospel's produced in us. A desire to go forgive. But we know we need your help, Lord. We know that because people offend us easily, and there will be offenses, people will do stupid things to you, and you will do stupid things to them. And you will do very sinful things. That the evidence here of His grace is that you are desiring to do this. that you want to do this. This is interesting how Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer. Listen to this. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For, where do you think he's going? If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others your trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus constructed the prayer in a remarkable way and then gave a follow-up contrary to the Pharisees who claimed all the benefits of God and refused to forgive. Listen to what he said. Forgive us as this has already been something we have already come to practice in our lives. Jesus sees this as something that is a natural outflow of a forgiven person. You see that? It's our desire now. That's what somebody forgiven, truly forgiven by grace, desires to go do. We need help because we often won't do it the way that we want to do it. But this is why we're praying it. What a beautiful thing. Forgive him 70 times 7 because that's what God has forgiven you. I don't know about you, but tonight, when these commands come to pray this way, it's really overwhelming. Because it means that when we come to the Lord in true faith and pray these things, he hears us and he answers. He desires to do it more than we do. So the Heidelberg says, he desires to do this more than we do. I remember hearing in closing tonight of a tombstone not far from New York. It's gathered some attention. I read the story a while back. The gravesite sits there, and many pass by it, and there's all these names. And you go to cemeteries, and you see all these things on tombstones. And I was fascinating in La Jolla to walk through that cemetery. It's an impressive cemetery, but to read the tombstones is really remarkable. The things that people say on those tombstones. On this one in New York, there's no date of birth. There's no date of death. It's a beautiful stone. It's untouched all the way around. No eulogy. No name. One word. Forgiven. Could you put that on your tombstone? Jesus invites you to come and ask him for forgiveness so that you could. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this. It's overwhelming to think, for we have provoked you in so many ways. We've sinned against you. We've stiffened our necks. We've hardened our hearts like the children of Israel in the wilderness. We've not taken this seriously. We've made worship at times just a show. We've come wanting to be entertained. We've come wanting everything about us. And we've not listened to your word, which tells us that the greatest need is that we would be forgiven of all of our sins. And tonight we confess our sins together. We could do it all night together, but we'll use the summary of the law that was given. We have not loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we have not loved our neighbor as ourself. And if you were to uncover this, our lives before everyone else, you would be just to judge us. And it would be absolutely shameful to expose the things that we have done. But we come to you tonight and say, please forgive us all of our debts. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Remember your covenant. Remember your promises. And remember your Son. Because of Jesus, don't hold them against us. And having been forgiven, because of this splendid grace, help us this week to go out and desire and practice the forgiveness of others who offend us. Let us be willing and eager to do it as you were more willing and eager to forgive us than we were even to ask it. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Be merciful to us. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.